And if we were to take a text tonight as the basis of our meditation, it would be verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that's exactly what we want to endeavor to do. We want to find those methods that will be most profitable to us as we meditate and as we study the Word of God. Now, I've entitled this the Bible Masterclass, and there's a reason for that, because whenever you set out in any study, any course of study, it's always helpful and profitable to determine and define the aim. And that title, that name, defines the aim. It contains the aim, the Bible Masterclass. And I want to do this the first Monday night of each month. The name focuses not so much on the idea of our mastering of the Bible, but rather the Bible's mastering of us. And that's the aim, that's the focus, that's the objective. And that objective can only be achieved through personal, careful, and continuous study of the Bible. And to study the Bible aright, we have to learn how to master the tools of Bible study. So the aim then, right from the commencement, the aim is to learn how to study the Bible so that the Bible will master our hearts, our minds, and our lives. The Lord exhorted his hearers in John chapter 5 and verse 39 to search the Scriptures. To search the Scriptures. And that word search there has the idea of a lion hunting or following, tracking after its prey, looking for the prey. And that's the idea that the Lord was conveying. We are to be like the lion, seeking our prey, seeking our food, seeking that which will nourish our souls. And we've got to track, as it were, through the Scriptures. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if we're going to rightly divide the word of truth, then we have to study. Study. There's no other way around it. Study is essential. And if we're going to glean from the Scriptures what the Lord intends us to glean, if we're going to receive the nourishment that the Lord intends us to receive, then we have to study. It will enrich the soul. The Bible's like a gold mine that is full of precious truth, and we will only find that gold through careful study. Now, there's many people shy away from the word study, and the reason why is because the word study involves work. It is no coincidence when Paul wrote those words to Timothy that he put the word study and also the word workman in the same verse side by side, because that's exactly what study is. It's work. It's hard work. It requires patience and perseverance. But it also involves knowing the methods of study. And there are certain methods that have to be followed when we come to study the Scripture. That's what that term study there implies. It implies the idea of knowing those methods and knowing how to apply them in order that we might glean the greatest profit from Scripture. And so what I want to do on this night of the month, this first Monday of each month, I want us to consider these methods of Bible study in the hope that they will increase our enjoyment of the Lord's Word. Now, when I talk about methods of Bible study, there are many, but they fall into essentially two categories. And the first is what we describe or refer to as the analytic approach, which involves analyzing. The term analyzing simply means to take apart and to look at the various elements one by one. It's a detailed method, and it looks at the topics, it looks at doctrines, it looks at verses, it looks at words, it places them under the microscope in order to examine the finer detail. And that's a very rewarding method of Bible study. It has many, many facets to it, many branches that you can follow, and we will look at some of them in the course of time. But the second method is what is referred to as the synthetic approach, and that's the primary method of Bible study. It has to be mastered first before you follow any other, before you go down the route of analytical method or analytical study, taking apart and looking at the various elements of Scripture. You have to grasp, you have to master the synthetic approach. And to synthesize is simply to put together. It's the opposite of analyze. Analyze is where you take apart, whereas to synthesize is to put together in order to consider the whole. It's best likened to the use of the telescope. The analytical method is the microscope that zooms in on the finer details, whereas the synthetic approach is where you take the telescope and you want to get as big a picture as it's possible to get. It's the bird's eye view of Scripture. Picture the bird that soars into the sky, and from that high vantage point it gains an overview of the general landscape. It sees the lowland, it sees the highland, it sees the fields, the rivers, the hedges, the trees. It gets the whole picture before it chooses the tree or the branch that it wants to land upon. That's what this synthetic approach is all about. It aims at seeing the overall picture, seeing the whole scene, as it were. And that's what's standard for any topic of study. Whatever science it is, whatever aspect of study it is, take geography, for example. What is most beneficial is to study the whole first before you look at the individual parts. Consider the globe before you look at the hemispheres or the continents or the countries or the oceans or the mountains, the rivers or the valleys. It's based upon the simple principle that a view of the whole assists the understanding of the individual parts. And that holds true for every branch of knowledge, every branch of science, whether it's history or maths or whatever. You get the whole picture first, as much as possible, before you look at the individual parts. And that holds true for Bible study. You've got to get the whole picture. And I think that's where you have the reason why so many people fail to enjoy study of the Bible, and the reason why so many are confused. What happens is that they start in at an individual part and they have no idea where it fits in the whole or in the bigger picture. It's a bit like opening the bonnet of a car, and you lift out the carburetor and you lift out all the different parts, and somebody lifts a carburetor and they think, what does this do? Where does this go? Well, it's better to see the whole picture first, and then you look at the individual parts and see how they all fit together. That's the idea in a synthetic approach to Scripture. And when we follow that and when we master that approach, it will yield to us untold reward and blessing. It's very, very important. The synthetic approach then seeks to study the Bible as a whole, to gain the bird's eye view. Its aim is not at this stage to focus in on particular topics or doctrines or words in the Bible, but rather its aim is to study the Bible as a whole in order to glean some understanding as to its general content and what the general theme of the Bible is. I think that's something that is lost sight of in many churches. It's lost sight of in Sunday school curriculums What generally happens in Sunday school curriculums is that you have this series of lessons, and whatever age the child is, they're just thrown into that particular stage wherever the lessons are at. And you have the very youngest children maybe coming in and they're learning about Daniel, or they're learning about the apostles, and it doesn't really make any sense to them because they don't have the concept of the whole picture. They don't have that general concept of what the overall landscape of the Bible is about. And so therefore, it's necessary, not even for adults, but even how we teach the Bible, how we teach the Bible to children, it's necessary to recognize the different approaches of study and the importance of the synthetic approach. A synthetic study looks at the Bible as one book before it looks at the individual books. It looks at the Bible as one book, and it seeks to discover its general layout as it's set out in its two testaments that then are divided into 66 individual books. So it gets the general theme. What is the idea of the Bible? What is the general content of the Bible? What is the overall layout of the Bible? And then it takes those individual books. It takes each individual book in its entirety. It looks at each book. So it will take the book of Genesis and go through the book of Genesis to get an overall idea of that book. And then it will go through every other book just the same way. And then it looks at the relationship between each of the individual books to the other books in order to set in place this overall view of what the Bible is about. Now that brings us to the essential and the primary rule for synthetic Bible study. In order to follow this approach, there's one fundamental, indispensable rule. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's found in Isaiah chapter 34, if you turn to that chapter. Isaiah chapter 34. You'll be glad to hear you don't need a university degree. You don't need some qualification from a Bible college in order to learn the fundamental, indispensable rule for synthetic Bible study. It's very simple. It's set out here, Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Now, this is emphasizing the synthetic approach, the approach that looks at the whole, because the Bible is described in the singular as the book of the Lord. It's one book. And therefore, it should be viewed as one book. It should be viewed in its entirety. It should be viewed in its completeness. But how do we follow that approach? How do we adopt it? How do we put it into practice? Well, here's the first fundamental, indispensable rule for synthetic Bible study. Read. Underline the word read. It's reading. Reading. I said it was simple. I said it was straightforward. I said you didn't need a university degree. You didn't need a qualification from a Bible college in order to set about synthetic Bible study. It's very simple. It just has to do with reading. Reading. And yet, reading, we have to say and confess, reading and the reading of the Bible is very much a lost art. And a neglected art. But it's commanded. Read. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. If you're going to study the whole Bible synthetically, then the first step is to know how to read the Bible. Study is the prerequisite for understanding. And reading is the prerequisite for study. You remember Philip, when he came to the Ethiopian, he asked him a question, "Do you understand what you read? Understandest thou what thou readest?" Do you understand what you read? Now, he was highlighting there two very important distinctions. The first is, a person may read without understanding. The Ethiopian didn't. He was reading Isaiah 53, but he didn't understand it. So a person may read without understanding, but a person will never understand without reading. And that is a vital lesson that Philip identifies. A person will never understand without reading. Reading is essential. Reading comes first. The measure of success in Bible study depends upon our reading of the Bible. Bible study begins with Bible reading. And so the primary and essential rule for all Bible study, and especially for the synthetic method of Bible study, is reading. How we read the Bible. And that's where this study, this master class begins. And I want, just for a few moments, just to set out some guidelines. I said I wasn't going to be long, and I'm going to keep to that. I have the notes here, fuller notes as well, which you can take. Haven't got them printed tonight, but when we get them printed, you can take them and then go through them at your own pace and go through them in more detail. But what I want to do is simply just set out some guidelines for this essential rule of reading the Bible. Because it's only when we master the technique for reading the Bible that we will then enter into the blessing that study of the Bible brings to us. Well, the first guideline is this: read the Bible like you read no other book. Read the Bible like you read no other book, for the Bible is like no other book. Look at this description here. It is the book of the Lord. It is the book of the Lord. It is unique. It is the Word of God. And therefore, ever before we open its pages, ever before we begin to read, we must resolve each time to read this Bible as the Word of God. This is the Word of God. We were always taught in Bible college during our Bible training times, and Mr. Douglas emphasized this time and time again. He said, when you're reading the Scriptures publicly, read it as the Word of God. Read it with emphasis. Read it clearly. Read it slowly. Put the emphasis where the emphasis is. Read this book like you read no other book. This is the Word of God. It's the Word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. Remember what Paul said to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. He says of them that they received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. This is how they received it. And when we come to read this book of the Lord, we must read it with this conviction, with this approach. This is unique. It's like no other book. This is God's Word. This is the Word of the Creator. That's the first guideline. But the second guideline is this: we must read the Bible without distraction. Without distraction. We live in such a busy age when there's so many demands press in upon us, so many things we have to do, so many obligations, so many responsibilities, that it becomes very difficult to read the Bible without distraction. But if we're going to glean from the Bible, then our reading of the Bible must be without distraction. And that means finding some time each day when we can read the Bible without all those other pressing demands coming in upon us. And the very first thing in order to comply with this guideline is switch off the phone. Switch off the phone. How many times does it happen when you sit down to read the Bible and the phone rings or a message comes through and automatically you're drawn to that and the distraction is there? You have to set things aside and read the Bible without distraction. That's a very simple, but it's a very practical guideline. But when we come to this synthetic approach, what we must do is to select a book of the Bible and as much as it's possible, read it through at one sitting. Now, I know there's a lot of devotional material and there's daily readings and they take a little verse and they have and by and large, that's the sum total of many a Christian's reading of the Bible. But stop and think about that. We do not read any other book like the way that many Christians read the Bible. If somebody's reading a novel like Treasure Island or Oliver Twist, they don't just pick out a line here and a line there, detached from one another. You don't read other books like that. And when the Bible is described as the book of the Lord, that term book indicates it has a beginning, it has a continuation, and it has a conclusion. And that's the way the Lord intends us to read it. And so, as much as it's possible, we should read through the Bible, and we should read through the individual books of the Bible. And what I am suggesting is to read through an individual book at one sitting. Now, I know there's not only devotional literature that has a little verse for a day. There's other guidelines that break the Bible up into chapters, and they set a certain amount of chapters to read each day. And that's good in its place. But synthetic Bible study, for it to be fruitful, profitable, and successful, it will only be fruitful whenever we actually develop this habit of sitting down and reading through a book of the Bible all at once. Reading through at one sitting. So if you take the book of Genesis, or if you take Paul's letter to the Ephesians, or you take one of the Gospels, what you do is you sit down and you determine to read it through from start to finish, without any breaks, to read it through at one sitting. Now, I know there are many time constraints and it's not possible to take a book like Isaiah with so many chapters and read through it at one sitting. And that is hard going. And so therefore, my suggestion is, what I find in my own experience, is to take a smaller book that's not going to take as long to read through. Take a smaller book and with discipline read through it in its entirety from start to finish without any breaks. Read through it. And you'll find that continuous method will yield surprising results, because it begins to impress upon the mind what the general theme of that individual book is. It's a very profitable means of Bible study. And when you start with the smaller books and develop that discipline, then it can progress to the larger books. So that is the third rule. Select a book of the Bible and as much as it's possible, read through it at one sitting. I would love to ask a congregation, do a survey and ask them, have you ever sat down and read through the book of Genesis all at once? Have you read through any book of the Bible all at once? It would be surprising to see what the result is to that question, the answer to it. But what I'm saying tonight, this is essential. This is what leads to profitable, enjoyable Bible study, reading through at one sitting. And then when you do that, read an individual book repeatedly. Because one reading of a book will generally not suffice. Read it through again. And then read it through again. And by doing that, it will help you to become familiar with the content and the layout of that particular book. It becomes clear. You're mounting up with wings like an eagle. You're ascending and you're seeing, at one glance, you're seeing the whole landscape. You get an idea of where everything is. You know, if you open, for instance, the book of Genesis and you go, you read it through at one sitting, it's not long before you see that one part deals with the age before the flood, and then you've got Noah and the flood, and then you come to Abraham and Abraham's sons, and then it finishes with the life of Joseph. And just like that, in your mind, you have a mental picture of what the general outlay of that book is. And that only comes through repetitive reading it repeatedly. Once and once again, time and time again. Now, following on from that, another guideline is to read the Bible without digression. And what I mean by that is, as you begin to read the Bible continuous and in a consecutive manner, you'll find that passages and verses will begin to stand out. And they will present difficulties. They'll raise problems that need to be explained, things that you just don't understand. And those things will stand out. And the temptation is to digress. The temptation is to stop the reading through and maybe go and lift the commentary and find out what Master Matthew Henry has to say on that particular problem, or somebody else. And before you know it, you've got off track. You have digressed. The golden rule for synthetic Bible study, the golden rule is this: do not digress. That's not your aim just now. That will come later on. That comes in the analytic approach, or the analytic method of Bible reading. But at this stage, the plan is to read through the book to obtain a bird's eye view. And what I would suggest, what I have done is, in my own experience, if when I'm reading through, I don't mark my Bible, because what I find with that is, if you mark your Bible, maybe put down a little thought at the side of your Bible, when you go to read that again, that thought, that's the thought that automatically presents itself, and it sometimes can hinder you from getting a fresh thought. So it's better to keep your Bible in that sense unmarked and to have a separate book in which you can jot down things. And so if you're reading through, say for instance, you take the Gospel of Mark, or you take maybe the Epistle to the Ephesians, and you're reading through it at one sitting, and you come across a verse. I was reading through 1 John today and read through the five verses, and the verse that there was a number of verses stood out. He that is born of God doth not sin. And that automatically presents a thought there. Well, what is meant by that? You know, and it's very easy just to digress then and get sidetracked focusing on that particular issue. But rather, that's not the aim. That's not the purpose. What you have to do is just jot it down. Just put it in a wee side book, put the chapter, the verse on it, and just put it down. Revisit this. Look at this again. This is something that has come up that I need to look at. But at this moment, my purpose is not to digress. It's to get the overall view of what that book is about. And then you'll have a little notebook with little avenues of study that you can take up at a later time. And it's good to write them down, because that way you don't forget and they are recorded there. And then read the Bible independently. And by that I mean leave aside commentaries. All those outside aids, leave them aside for the time being. They're beneficial in their place, but they do not belong to synthetic Bible study. They don't belong in this synthetic approach. We have to leave them aside, because doing that will develop, in the first instance, it will develop our own intellectual power, our own intellect. If we're always going to someone else, then all we're doing is leaning on someone else's thoughts, someone else's approach, someone else's, the fruit of their study. When we come to read the Bible through synthetically as a whole, we should leave aside all those other aids that in their place are good and helpful. Leave them aside and let the Lord minister to our own mind, and let the Lord develop our reasoning power, our intellectual ability when we come to the Scriptures. And then the final guideline is, when we come to read the Bible, we must always read it prayerfully, asking the Lord, the one who is the author of this book, that the Lord would open our eyes. Remember what David said in Psalm 119, verse number 18. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The Spirit of God is the author of this book, and we will never glean anything from it without his ministry, without his aid. And so when we read the Bible, when we open the Bible to read it, here we have a prayer that we can take right out of the pages of Scripture, and we can say, "Lord, open my eyes, show me wonderful things." And the Spirit of God, I believe, answers that prayer. And when the Lord answers that prayer, then we will see and we will hear wonderful things from his wonderful word. Read the Bible like we read no other book. It is unique. Read it without distraction. Read it through at one sitting, selecting a book and reading it through as much as possibly, and then repeating that process, reading that book repetitively a number of times. Read it without digression, without getting sidetracked. Read it independently, without any other aids or commentaries, and read it prayerfully, asking the Lord to open up his word and cause that word to be fruitful to our hearts. This is the essential, fundamental, indispensable rule for all Bible study: reading the Scriptures, reading the Bible. And I believe that it's not only the great need of this particular age, a return to reading the Bible, but I believe that when Christians read the Bible in this manner, that not only will we be blessed, but we will be strong. We will have strong Christians. That's what the psalmist is emphasizing there concerning the blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands not in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What is the secret of the strength of his character and his resolve? It's the fact that he's meditating day and night in the Word of God. It is his study of God's word that makes him strong in character, and it is his study of God's word that makes him blessed in his heart, for he's blessed, and it is his study of God's word that makes him fruitful and prosperous. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The secret to not being a withering Christian is to be a studying Christian, a Christian studying and meditating in the Word of God. And the secret of study is the art of reading. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. May the Lord help us to read his word to great profit and to the delight of our